The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitchers under Toy World Order. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShelleheadComics.com. Welcome, my best friend and co-host, the one and only Dave Draper.
Yay!
Yay! Hi, David.
Hi, Jason.
We are back in the Duvall household for the first time in several weeks.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, comma, yes.
Well, you had a convalescing beast.
I did. The puppy dog is all healed and better. And
Yeah. He seems really super frisky.
Yep, he's back to his old little self, and that's a wonderful thing. So
yes, it is. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that was a frustrating couple weeks, though.
Oh, but, I bet. Yeah. It's always hard.
Yeah, he's all good. And then last week, I was sick on Tuesday and was just like, I got to go to the dentist on Wednesday. I'll come to you.
Yeah.
So that made sense. I got a cavity. I got to get filled.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Stupid old age.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid unhealthy teeth. Stupid sugar. Why anybody tell me that as I drink a Mountain Dew?
I don't even take in that much sugar in my cavity. So it's...
Well, you also have the gout.
Well, that has nothing to do with my teeth.
Well, no, but that's why you don't take a whole lot of sugar.
Well, you know, honestly, I never had a big sweet tooth to begin with.
That's true.
I did drink a lot of Coca-Cola was about my biggest sugar intake.
Yes.
I mean, yes, I do occasionally. Once a year at a movie, I will be bad. And then, of course, I seem to have my blood test.
Yes, right
the
after.
Next day. Yeah, that was not the smartest move.
Your sugar levels are high.
Your sugar levels are alarmingly high. Well, that's because I had my sugar for the year.
Yeah, it's because I ate a whole box.
Lots of milk duds. Yeah. It was Avengers. It was Avengers 2.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. We are 9 days away from the Kane County Doll and Toy Show.
Hooray.
I know. I'm super excited.
I'm kind of excited. I'm feeling better now.
Are you?
Yeah. Now I seem to have things squared away. I'm feeling a little more excited.
We've got your puppy dog taken care of.
I think we got the dog taken care of. So don't have to kennel her. Because I was, you know, something happened to her the last time she was there.
And you were just kind of.
I don't know if it was an accident or what.
Yeah, she got her paws pretty...
She got the backs of her paws, like, all scraped up. And I don't know what that was about.
I don't know. That's
And it's a rough time of year because of the allergies. So.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to warn Carrie about the cone of shame.
Oh, yeah.
She'll be wearing that.
Yeah, Carrie had to put the cone of shame back
on
her.
Well, she didn't have to take it off, frankly.
No.
Just hook her up, take her out back, let her pee poop. She'll just pee, because hopefully it doesn't rain on Saturday. It will rain on Saturday, because it always rains the day before King County.
Yeah.
But hopefully it won't, and I can get her to the park, and if I get her to the park in the morning, she'll poop all the poop that she needs to poop.
Yes.
And she'll pee a lot. And she'll be fine for most of the rest of the day.
She will poop the poop she needs to poop.
This is my life. People are like, what do you do all day? I take my dog to the park, it poops, I go home.
Your life revolves around poop, too.
My life does revolve around poop, basically.
Carrie and I's day, whether it's both of us here or she here by herself until the evening, our day revolves around, has the dog pooped yet and how many times?
Yeah.
And people wonder why I don't want children.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, when are you going to have a kid? Never. Never. I might adopt one day when I'm like 50. But no, and when I say adopt, like a 4 or 5-year-old girl that nobody wants, that Carrie and I can like just, you know, gush on and take to Disney World every year. That's all we really want in life.
Yeah.
But yes,
you could take me to Disney World.
We are going to Disney World.
My house guest is also a huge Disney head.
I know she is.
You got it. You know, I'm going to take you to Disney World. And I'm like, well, if you want to pay for it, she's like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm holding out till Star Wars Land.
Yeah,
man. I will pay to go when it's Star Wars Land time. I don't want to like spend all my money early.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I want to see a Millennium Falcon and walk around on it.
Yeah, I know. We got a couple more years for that.
I know, exactly. That's my thing. I'm waiting for the thing that I'm waiting for.
Yep. And then we will go to Disney World. We will all go together.
It'll be wonderful.
Yes, it will be great. It'll be grand and spectacular. But the rooms booked for Kane County, and looking forward to going to the show on Sunday. Saturday, if you are going to be be there at the show on Saturday, or just going to be in town on Saturday for the show. We are...
Do you even have to be there for the show? What if you just happen to be passing through St. Charles?
If you're in St. Charles, Illinois on Saturday, the 23rd of April at 5 p.m., you can hit us up at Geno's East in St. Charles. It's on, I believe it's on Main Street in St. Charles.
I have no idea.
But if you're part of the Toy World Order fan group, there's a post there telling everybody that that's what we're doing, and we're just gonna hang out at 5 p.m., eat some good pizza. Everybody's going to... Yeah, dinner's not on us, but, you know, it's
no.
Everybody's on your own for dinner, but they got a great menu. They got great food, best pizza I've ever had, honestly. Dave and I eat it every time we go, just because if Dave doesn't get his Geno's, he gets very sad.
I kind of do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we will be there Saturday night, hanging out with people, great friends, great fans. Just hanging out before the show on Sunday when we're all against one another and all for one, one for all.
Kind of.
Yes.
A little bit.
A little bit. But some toy news happened. BotCon happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
In
the
Kentucky.
Last BotCon.
The last BotCon under FunPub. Not necessarily the last BotCon ever.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I read an interesting article from someone about who had actually gone to the BotCons before it was even FunPub. And, I don't think FunPub's going to be that missed.
I don't either, because...
I hate to say that. I know it sounds mean, but like, you know, he was talking about how, like, originally it was more like, you know, kind of a fan thing and people getting together, and then it became all about the merchandise.
Once, right. You know, once FunPub got involved.
Yeah, and I like merchandise, but, you know, it was an interesting article to read.
I like merchandise, too, just not... super overpriced merchandise, which is what all the convention exclusives were.
They're pretty high, and then of course, but the thing is, yeah, they're pretty high at the thing, but then afterwards they're monstrously high.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
So
Hasbro had their I don't know if it was Hasbro FunPub. I did not look into that, but
it's probably FunPub.
Probably FunPub. It was FunPub. They were talking about the last year of the Transformer exclusive toys. And they showed off a shared club exclusive set.
Yeah, like they did last year.
Like they did last year, but this one includes a repainted Masterpiece Rat Bat that actually was only available through Japan, I think. John Kent had to buy another...
There was some weird shenanigans where, yeah. Because it wasn't available through the regular Masterpiece Soundwave.
So it was the only way you could get it. So they're doing a Masterpiece repainted Rat Bat in cartoon colors. A G2 Megatron. I don't know what mold he...
I think he's
a Legends. Yeah, he's the Legends figure, just repainted. And then three G.I. Joe figures. A Cobra Commander, Ninja Force Scarlet, which people were really excited for.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool surprise. And then Dr. Biggles Jones.
Dr. Biggles Jones, who in the comics is the one that helps turn Megatron from his G1 gun... to the tank in the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover from the 90s? Was that late 80s?
I think it was late 80s. Yeah.
So, and people were really excited about Dr. Biggles Jones, too, because she was kind
of... Yeah, she's one of those comic characters.
Yeah. So, the Cobra Commander, though,
They've done him a couple times.
Yeah. So, I think they were just like, who else can we throw in there? I know that Ninja Force Scarlet, though, had a lot of people excited, because she's one of those... I don't know, have they ever done...
Not a modern version of that character?
So, and she was only in that outfit in the comics, right? She was not... Or the vintage one was colored that way? I don't remember.
Okay, the toy was colored that way.
Okay.
And she... I think she was in the comics. I think she might have been in the Deke cartoon. I'm not sure.
Mm.
I've never actually watched the Deke cartoon.
Dave can't make it
Aside from the original miniseries,
yes.
Which I always get mixed up the name of it. And then the episode with the drug guy.
Because that's
just ridiculous and hilarious.
That was kind of a fun, so that'll be a shared...
The Headman.
That'll be a shared exclusive sometime later this year. And I'm sure we'll actually see those figures and stuff at JoeCon this year. So
I'm sure they'll show it off again, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be... I know last year's convention shared exclusive was kind of fun.
Yeah, they were pretty cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed them.
It was a nice...
And they have one that they haven't... I don't think they've released yet with the Autobots in human form.
Yes, they have not. And that's a shared... I believe that's a shared.
That's exclusive. Yeah. I think they're all shared. I think they kind of... That is a good move on their part to, like, not make it...
not excuse make me. You
exclusive one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be crummy.
Yeah, it would be pretty crabby. Be nice for people to get a masterpiece. Bless you.
I know.
Jeez.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A masterpiece rat bat, though. That you don't have to buy some other foreign release of Soundwave to get.
No, you just have to buy a club exclusive.
Yes. Eagle Force has been making some more waves. We got some more looks at the figures, as well as they launched a Fresh Monkey Fiction kicked off another Kickstarter campaign. Well, it kicked off the Kickstarter campaign by offering a set of Eagle Force trading cards as a Kickstarter, which kind of a cute idea. Basically, I believe it takes the original packaging from the series and makes they just made a trading card set. So 20 cards will explore some of the original characters, provide hints to what characters will be returning later this year. And that's live over on the Kickstarter.
Okay.
I'm not sure what their goal is. I can't imagine it was too high because, well, they're trading cards. And
yeah.
You know.
Just do the thing for the toys.
Yeah, just do the toys. Well, that'll be this summer. Well, they had a $700 goal. They're well over $3,000. So, yeah, trading cards weren't...
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, weren't a heck of a expensive thing to make. But it's cool that... this is kind of, it's a vintage cards with art by original Eagle Force designer Paul Kirchner, as well as a character bio on the back. We'll also have some modern cards with original art by Steve Butler and original Eagle Force designer Paul Kirchner. So, as well as images of the new action figures. Plus, as a bonus, when you open your set, you'll get a first look at a brand new figure that they'll keep top secret until the set ships. So, I know Dave's looking forward to this because it looks like a fun little set of figures.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun to get eventually when these hit and when these come out. So right up Dave's alley though, 3/4-inch scale, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's one of the reasons I never got the original line is because they were like I think 2 inches.
Yes,
I do think it's cool. I'm just like, okay, put the thing up yeah. so we can order it already.
Put the thing up so we can order the thing. Yeah,
put the thing so we can do the thing already. Want to do already.
The thing with the thing and the thing and the thing?
I'm talking about that for like 2 years now.
I know, right?
About like a year and a half.
Hot Toys showed off images of the newest member of the Captain America Civil War line. That would be none other than T'Challa the Black Panther.
Okay, cool.
Who, the costume, I mean, well, it's nice to finally get... a really nice look at what the costume actually looks like through Hot Toys. As the images from the film, he goes by so fast that unless you, you know, freeze frame everything and take a look, it's hard to see. But the costume's pretty darn cool. Of course, the costume's made up of vibranium.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Huh.
I believe that's the story because I couldn't use it. Was it adamantium?
Adamantium. Well, first of all, adamantium is an alloy that uses vibranium.
Oh yes.
But yeah, they probably they might be able to use it, but it's one of those things that they're just kind of like better off leaving it alone.
Yes.
Because it's one of those hazy gray areas. But he would use vibranium anyway because that's Wakanda's
natural resource. Right?
Natural resource. Yeah, I think a meteor hit there a million years ago, and that's where they get it from.
Yes.
I'm just like I think it's weird this costume's made out of it because it's metal. Smith
said. Yeah, but it's I know he is bulletproof because there is a scene in the film where shooting him and he just stands there. It's like, oh, all right.
I mean, I'm not saying they didn't do it. That just seems weird. I mean, maybe it has like vibranium threads.
That could be.
Man, I can't speak.
Vibranium.
I mean, because I can see the little silver lines, details in the costume. So, yeah. And it makes sense.
The figure looks magnificent, though. I mean,
it looks pretty cool. Yeah. It's a Hot Toys.
Exactly. And Hot Toys are always pretty phenomenal.
They usually are.
Dynamite, which is a publishing company which has done a lot of books over the years, Dynamite Entertainment, they are producing a book, a big coffee table book. I believe this is released in October. It'll be $39.99. You can get it on Amazon or you can special order it anywhere that's comic specialty stores. But Dynamite Entertainment is offering The Art of Atari. By Robert V. Conte and Tim LaPitano, with a foreword by Ernest Klein, author of Ready Player One and Armada.
Oh, okay.
And basically, this book just takes all of that classic
box art
from the Atari games, which the art was always nine times out of ten
so much cooler
than the game. Because again, we're talking, you know, pre 8-bit era.
Yeah.
But the art. This piqued my interest because I saw it and was like, oh, like I loved the artwork from those. And
yeah, I mean, I had a bunch of those back in the day.
Yes. Clocks in at over 350 pages, represents the most comprehensive retrospective to date, and collects production and concept artwork photos and marketing materials, so fans can glean exclusive insight from key people involved in Atari's rich history, with behind-the-scenes details on how the most iconic games in early video game history were conceived, illustrated, and developed. And of course, the company's pioneered hundreds of now classic titles that include Asteroid, Centipede, and Missile Command among them. So, these were all sourced from private collections and museums worldwide. All of the artwork in here. So this is all they had to go hunt all of this artwork down because, well, Atari doesn't own any of it anymore. I don't think they ever owned any of it. I think it was like the toy designers. They, you know, Mattel used it, they owned it, and then they threw it away, and the designers took it all back. So
yeah.
But this would be cool to see when it comes out in October. I'm kind of excited about that.
That one too.
Yeah. I love anyone who knows me personally, especially Dave can attest to this, is I love coffee table books that are of certain subject matters, like, you know, the making of the Harry Potter films. I've got this gigantic, like, 800-page monstrosity that covers the entire films and stuff like this, and I'm really excited for this book.
I mean, I kind of like stuff like that. I'm kind of psyched. The you know, I picked up the Topps Star Wars trading cards.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They had a book for the entire, you know, that collects and has pictures of all the trading cards. Yeah, reprints all the cards and it explains the thought process. You know, one of the guys that designed the cards, like, kind of co-authored the book, and
right.
He, you know, he talks about, well, Empire's coming out this month.
Oh, the book
so,
for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the book for that. So I'm like, ooh, neat.
That's
got
cool.
That pre-ordered from Amazon.
Because wasn't the story, we talked about it before on the show, but wasn't the fact that they didn't have any, like, special effects shots to use?
They had no special effects. They had, like, one publicity shot of, like, a TIE fighter and an X-Wing.
Yeah. And that was it. Like, everything else was culled from photos from the set and...
Yeah, and the last series, the orange, I think it's the orange border one, they started doing behind-the-scenes stuff because they're like, we have used these pictures over and over again so many times.
How many more times can we sell these cards?
Yeah. There was demand.
There was. They were, Star Wars was at the height of its popularity.
And it was.
The first height of its popularity. We are now in the second height of its popularity, I believe.
Kinda,
or third, or fourth even. But yeah, that's pretty cool. The original, speaking of Star Wars, the original Star Wars films, Disney is re-releasing
Yay!
Them. This not, and I don't think they're, I don't think.
That's so cool. I can't wait to go see the original movies in the theater.
Well, that's the problem is that they're not the originals. They're the special editions.
From,
yeah, they're, boo. They're from 97. Yeah,
boo.
Yeah, they're the special editions that they're.
See, I don't get that. I don't get why, like, Disney would make so much money releasing the original versions.
Oh, I agree, and that's the thing that really kind of makes me scratch my head is the fact is why. Disney has talked about the fact that they have, or they had found the negatives for the that were apparently that
have
Lucas,
they?
Yeah,
I thought that Lucas said those didn't exist.
Mm. Well, they exist. That was just Lucas's cop out to be.
Well, so, I know that.
Yeah, but so they have access to those now, unless they're just waiting until this next trilogy's done to release them all, including the originals, out on. Whatever the next, you know, at the rate science is going, all of our entertainment will be in the form of DNA molecules.
All right.
Yes, because that's where data storage is heading. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just kind of surprised that they're not going to release the originals. They're releasing the special editions again.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like there's nothing. I don't get what the excitement or interest is in re-releasing, like. If you did the original versions, there would be that, you know, hey, let's see if they're as good as we remember, and, you know, you get fanboys like me, they're like, oh, it's the pure one in the theater, it's so awesome.
Yes.
Whereas this is like, oh, it's special edition.
And the thing is that I don't know if I thought I'd read somewhere that it's not nationwide. The Alamo Drafthouse will sponsor a nationwide roadshow of the trilogy, And they go on to say, it's always been a dream to show the original Star Wars trilogy again, somehow, some way, said Alamo Draft House's vice president of special events, Henry Mazza. Seeing the original trilogy on the screen for the first time is a real-life altering event and just a supreme amount of fun. When the films became available to book for screenings like these, we jumped to the chance to do something big. They will take place in more than 20 cities nationwide in August, with more dates and locations to be announced. Tickets will be available starting, of course, May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day. So they haven't been set, but it's not. I wouldn't say exactly it's a nationwide thing. Okay. It's not going to be like they were trying to do with the original trilogy when they were going to release everything in 3D.
Yeah.
So this is more of like a just Alamo Draft House's roadshow kind of event. So, but still, I would imagine then that Disney is holding on to the unaltered editions in order to release those somewhere down the road for the first time in theater since...
I guess. I'm like, I don't know what they're waiting for.
Mm. We got the trailer last week after we recorded for Star Wars Rogue One.
Yes, we did.
Which was a spectacular trailer.
It was incredibly cool.
Yeah, save for the alarm.
Oh, I love the alarm.
Really?
Oh, I love the clap. Because, you know, I'm a Star Wars fanboy. Yeah. That's the Death Star klaxon.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, oh. No, I love that. That was so cool.
Apparently, a lot of people have a lot of... apparently, they reference Bonthans dying. And everyone's like, they didn't die until the second Death Star.
No. What it is they don't reference the Bonthans. And everyone's like, well, where are the Bonthans? Oh,
okay. Well, I followed part of it.
How come the Bonthans aren't in it? It's like, well, that was the second Death Star.
Yeah. But it does look really spectacular. What I find interesting, though, is the fact that, again, this is the internet. And, well, the internet is somewhat housing for Neanderthals. The fact that so many people were so pissed off that we have another female lead, another strong female lead. And it's like, people are just, they were just going off. They're like, oh, why?
They'll be wanting the vote next.
Oh, my God. It's just like, really, people, like, whoa, did you not ever see, I don't know, Aliens, you know?
I mean, you know, I kind of, like, honest to God, I kind of had that reaction for like a split second where I'm like, oh, it's another movie with a strong female. And I'm like, yeah, okay, and you got six of them where the dude was the lead.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, okay, that's a fair point.
Yeah,
she looks like a cool... You know what, at the end of the day, really, shouldn't we be at a point in our lives where, like, it shouldn't matter. Like, if it's a cool character, it's a cool character.
We're getting another original Star Wars movie a year after we just got another original Star Wars movie.
And it looks good, too. It doesn't. Yeah. In some ways, it feels more authentically Star Wars to me than Force Awakens does.
Yes.
Like, Force Awakens had the feels. It had that, you know, but they also really kind of, I don't know how to put it. It's like Force Awakens had TIE Fighters or X-Wings and Han Solo and Chewbacca and the Millennium Falcon, you know, whereas this has, like, the little details and the grit and the...
Yes.
And it has that feel, like... I said to a friend, you know, who I used to play Star Wars Galaxies with, it has that Galaxies kind of feel to it.
Yes.
Where you're kind of like right off to the side of all the stuff that's going on. And that's what's so cool. Like, there were so many moments. Like, I mean, the klaxon. Like, yeah. That was, to me, that was awesome because that's the Death Star klaxon.
Yeah. I found it really interesting, though, the actress that is playing Mon Mothma in this
is the same one who played Mon Mothma in Episode 3.
But I didn't realize that.
Until, I wondered about it, and I looked it up.
And we got a better look, because I don't think we really got a good look at her.
She was kind of cut in episode 3.
Yeah. And she is so... She looks just like the original actress.
Yeah, she looks very close.
Yes. And I've seen a side-by-side picture of her, and I showed it to Carrie. I'm like, well, the lady on the left is the one that's playing that character now. The lady on the right is who played her in 78. And Carrie went...
83.
Or 83. And Carrie went, oh my. And I'm like, yeah, right? I'm like, it's pretty spectacular.
I was like, I wonder if they're the same actress. And I went and I looked it up. I'm like, son of a gun.
We also had the MTV Movie Awards this past weekend, which heralded some new trailers, including the second trailer for Suicide Squad, which
was pretty good.
Yeah, which had a whole lot of Batman in it.
It had some Batman. I don't remember it being that much Batman.
There's quite a bit of Batman in that.
Okay.
Little shots and pieces here and there, but...
I'm not saying he wasn't in it. I just don't remember him being like...
I'm guessing his only involvement is that in that is going to be the flashback.
It's going to be the flashback to when Harley got caught.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And it looks like he saves Harley in this, too.
Well, yeah.
But the new trailer looks fun. It'll be interesting when that comes out in August to see.
And there were jokes. You know, I thought the story was that the only jokes in the movie were in that first trailer. There were jokes.
There were more jokes.
Yeah, I mean, it looks and the humor looks appropriate.
Yeah,
like I don't know. Like I'm kind of interested to see. Like I don't want to say I'm excited to see it because that's not quite true. But I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it. I you know, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be cool. It depends on, well, I mean, a lot of it depends on what they're dealing with, because it looks like they're fighting rock people or something.
Yeah,
I don't like rock people. I'm not Danny, I don't like rocks.
Dave doesn't like rocks.
I don't like rocks.
Yeah. The other trailer we got, one of the other two trailers, the three trailers we got to see was the first full trailer of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The, I wouldn't say a continuing tale of the Harry Potter world, but
what is
somewhat of a prequel.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's about, I cannot remember the character's
name. Newt Scaramander,
and the story of, I don't know if it's how he came to write the book.
I would assume so.
And his adventures, because that book is all about his adventures, which they published that book before.
Well, no, they published the actual, because he wrote, in the Harry Potter universe, that's a textbook they use in school.
Oh.
Is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And she published, she published two books. One of them was that. I think the other one was about Quidditch. I can't remember. I've got them. But
oh, it's Beedle's Tales of...
No, not Beedle the Bard. That's a different one. That came out when the last book came out. Mm. I don't actually have that one. But they were published for, like, The Profits Went to Charity.
Oh, okay. These
little paper... Like, the ones that I have are little paperbacks.
And,
but it's you know, it's like a little bestiary, you know, from the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be interesting, because we've never actually really heard or seen... his tale, and that'll be interesting to see how this came to be. The trailer's pretty phenomenal because they do mention the fact that he was expelled from Hogwarts, that Dumbledore fought for him to not be expelled, and they show a bunch of scenes, and as soon as they say, you know, return to the wizarding world, they started that classic Harry Potter music, and the hair on my arms stood up.
Oh, man, you were rocking out.
Oh, I love that.
It was cute.
I love those movies so much.
I like the books.
Oh, I love the books. The books are phenomenal, but I think the movies, that whole series of film, and the fact that other than changing Dumbledore, because, well, our original Dumbledore
passed away. Yeah. And honestly, not to be mean to Richard Harris, I think he was probably not feeling his best. You know, he was very sick and very ill.
Yeah.
I think they kind of did better with the second guy they got.
Yes.
Because Dumbledore's a very... lively character. He's got all this life energy.
He's a lively hippie.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of that's a front that he puts on to deal with the world because he's had all these terrible things happen to him.
Yes.
But the point being, he was always this lively, energetic presence in the books, and Richard Harris was obviously very ill.
Yeah.
And did not carry off the character very well.
But yeah, I love those movies. I love the fact that they were able to do all those films with the same entire, you know, pretty much the same cast
and
watch them age progressively through the films as they would have in real life. So,
well, that was for the sixth film. There's one of them where they do one of the trailers had like traced everybody through the films.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't the last one, but it was one of the later ones.
Yeah, it was a fun series. But the last trailer they premiered.
Let me cut in real quick, because there was another trailer, actually, not for a movie. But speaking of things based on books that I prefer, they had the trailer for Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. The new season premiere trailer, yeah.
Yeah, which goes beyond the books.
Yes.
And it's funny, there is one great moment at the end of the trailer where Tyrion, and I wasn't paying attention, someone else was watching it, and I heard it, and I'm like, is that Tyrion? She's like, yeah. But he's like, you know, dragons do not do well in captivity. And she's like, how do you know about dragons? He goes, that's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is such a perfect Tyrion line. And then it ends with him kind of in like this dungeon thing. And he's like looking around. And this dragon comes out of the shadows and goes. Like, oh.
That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, but I just love that. That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
Yeah, I'd seen that that came out, but of course I still never watched the series.
I've never watched the series.
I only ever read the first book. I can never get into them after that.
Yeah, I've read all the books.
You plotted through them.
Well, no, the first book is really good.
Oh, yeah, no, the first book's great. After that, it goes downhill.
The second book's still readable. I think by the time you get to the fourth and fifth books, it's pretty interminable. You're like, just get to the dragons. It's like that South Park. Get to the dragons.
Floppy wiener, floppy wiener.
Well, that whole episode, like, what I love about the episode, that whole episode is basically about how Martin is dicking around.
Yeah.
Except they never use that actual phrase, but they do everything but use that actual phrase that Martin is dicking around.
Oh, my God. South Park is such a wonderful show on so many levels.
Yeah.
When it hits on all its cylinders.
When it hits, it's pretty brilliant.
Yes.
So the last one is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
the second full trailer for Out of the Shadows. And it showed a little bit more of what we're dealing with in the storyline and the fact that we are, of course, dealing with the mutagenic super ooze.
Complicated, sophisticated story.
Well,
look.
Shredder's wanting to make an army of mutants. Yeah. And
I just want to quickly point out, I actually think that the trailers look good, and I think the movie looks good. But I'm just like, was the plot really that difficult?
No.
It's like, yeah, the Krang comes and they make more mutants and the turtles fight them. Yay!
Yeah, pretty much. But we're dealing with the mutagenic ooze, and of course we get introduced to new characters such as Baxter Stockman, Bebop and Rocksteady in both their forms, Casey Jones, and of course Krang and the Utoms.
The Utoms.
Yeah, so we'll get introduced to all of them, the Technodrome and all that stuff, so... The new trailer looked a lot of fun, though. It showed a little bit of the mutation of Bebop and Rocksteady and their discovery afterwards, where Bebop's
that was
like,
a cute scene.
You're a rhino, and I'm a little piggy. I think those characters are going to be served very well in this film, because it looks like Bebop and Rocksteady get a crap ton of screen time in this movie.
It is still a little weird to me that they look so cartoon accurate.
Yes.
You know? And then the turtles are the Bay movie turtles.
Yes.
That's a little weird for me.
It's almost fan service.
Oh, it is. It is absolutely fan service.
Yes. And I guess in the trailer, they show the fact that Donatello discovers, well, if the mutagen can turn humans into animals, then maybe, and then it has the power, he sprinkles a little bit on his hand, and he basically has a human hand that looks like a turtle hand.
Kind
of. Yeah, kind of. So... I guess the story, of course, the moral is going to be happy with who you are and not
learn
who you
to accept
be.
You yeah. for yourself.
Yes, yes.
Love you for you.
Yes. Oh. Just give me turtles beating up.
Yeah, I don't know that I needed that.
So, I had enough morals in the 80s and 90s. Thank you. I'm all out of morals.
It was weird. It was weird to me that of all the turtles that would want that. Because they set that up in the opening shot, that it's Halloween.
Yeah,
Michelangelo wants to go hang out with people. Because it makes sense for that to be Michelangelo's story arc, but then they have Raphael really, really wanting to do this too, and Leonardo's trying to talk him out of it. And that's just weird that of all the characters, like Raphael would not want to change who he is.
No.
At least as far as I understand the character.
But of course, seeing that, I start having flashbacks to the end of the cartoon series, the original cartoon series, where they were suffering second mutations.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. It was a horrible, horrible thing. They were turning into these giant monsters just randomly, and it's like, oh, it's horrible. It's the end of a great series right there. Just awfulness. Awfulness.
Well, that's what happens when you let things go on too long.
I know, and that went on way too long. Something I thought was interesting on the 7th of April last week, the Mego Museum, who's a great website if you're a fan or collector of Mego stuff. And of course, Dave and I are fans of or at least scholars, or try to be somewhat, of just about every toy line we can to a degree.
Yep, sort of.
Sort of. I love looking through the Mego Museum, even though it's not anything that I would ever want to go down the rabbit hole for.
I don't know that I'd want to go full bore, but I have Mego stuff.
You have some Mego stuff. The Planet of the Apes.
The Treehouse.
The Treehouse comes
to mind. I have some Planet of the Apes stuff. I have the Batcave. The Batmobile.
Some of the figures. You got Mego Hulk and...
I got Mego Hulk. I got Mego Catwoman.
Yeah.
A lot of them are the new whatever they are.
The Mattel ones.
Well, there's some Mattel ones, but there's also the ones that... the new ones.
Oh, okay.
That are more Mego style.
Yes. But the Amigo site, the Amigo Museum, is a great, great site to go and kind of poke through and look around. But they published a story on April 7th talking about the, I don't know if this was the 70s when these were. When was the New Avengers, which was John Steed and it was a British show called The Avengers.
No, there was The Avengers.
Yeah, and then there was the...
That had to be the 70s.
The New Avengers.
The Avengers was the 60s.
Okay, then this was the 70s.
Because that also makes it, because that's when Mego was a thing.
Yes. The article goes on to say, for years, Mego fans have been regaled with stories of the fabled Denny's Fisher New Avengers toy line and that the fact that it had made it into production in South Africa. Now, Denny's Fisher was a company that worked very closely with Mego overseas.
They did the Doctor Who stuff.
They did the Doctor Who stuff, and they worked really close with Mego, kind of... they license the designs and the characters to release overseas as kind of a subsidiary sort of thing. Around the time rumors surfaced again, several South African collectors mentioned having these Denny's Fisher New Avengers toys as children. And of course, the past year has been amazing for entries into this whole case. They unearthed a naked John Steed figure. For those of you who don't know, John Steed was the main character.
Patrick McNee.
Yes.
I believe is the name.
He was the main character of that series.
With him and Emma Peel.
Yes.
And Emma Peel was the hot lady in the tight cat suit.
And now, thanks to some generous donations of a fan, they have photos of a boxed complete John Steed. It does. Although they go on to say it doesn't look like Mego was really involved in the production of these figures. Of course, like we said, Mego and Denny's Fisher had a rich history of working together on things like comic action heroes and, as Dave said, the Doctor Who line. But it looks like toy maker Fun World got the contract to produce these action figures. So they go from being actual Migos to Mego-like, but at the set... what appears to be a box, Gambit, Purdy, and Steed. The Purdy people have seen before. She's been something that we've known that existed, but there was supposed to be a Mike Gambit, who was the other main character that was introduced in the New Avengers.
No wonder it didn't take off.
Yes. And he was supposed to have this karate gi kind of thing on, and when they opened the boxes, they discovered, well, he's... there's actually two John Steed figures, so it doesn't look like Mike Gambit actually got made, maybe. But it looks like there were two John Steeds. The fact that he came with his little cane and his little his hat, come dressed in his little suit there.
It's interesting. There was a little bit of text there talking about. I guess they thought that the Doctor Who figure was based on the Mike Gambit toy.
Yes. There's
a legend about that.
Yes, there was a legend about that. That's how that came to be.
Hmm.
Or vice versa. The Mike Gambit was supposed to be a reused Tom Baker, and it never happened. So, but it's pretty interesting. These figures, you can see the fact how they call them Mego-like, because they're... They are very much in the vein of Mego toys, but... again, very, very cool.
They're a little bigger because I have the Doctor Who.
Yes.
So they're a little bigger. A
little bigger. The reason I brought this up is I just thought it was interesting. We just talked on the 200th episode, you know, many weeks ago now, talking about when you, myself, Danny, and David Gull, we were discussing about how a lot of this stuff is still being discovered. Stuff that people thought was never made is still being discovered to this day.
Yeah.
And these toys were from the mid-70s, the mid to late 70s.
Something like that, yeah.
And people are like, oh, I've got a box version of that, and they're showing them off, and people are like, oh my God. It's really cool to see this type of stuff turn up, like to finally turn up in the wild and to see, again, like I said, while I'm not the biggest Mego fan or follower, I love history like this. I love seeing... These unearthings of people finding them in warehouses or finding them in a collection that, you know, at an auction somewhere or something,
yeah.
And you stumble across and you're like, whoa. I always hoped somebody would come across the big, huge Brontosaurus playset that was supposed to come out for Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it fell off a desk and got broke and it got thrown away. Yeah, because the prototype was on a designer's desk, according to the story, and then fell off and got broken, did. But it's pretty cool. It's just, like I said, it's nice to see that kind of stuff is still being discovered. What I guess it leads me to just to have a quick conversation about it. What to set up our own fan question to one another. What
okay, that's kind of sad.
What toy unproduced would you like to see discovered in the wild today? That it something that almost made it to production, made it as far as samples for production. Something like the Kenner 12-inch RoboCop that was supposed to come out with the original RoboCop line from Kenner and never happened, but samples exist for this line. What would you want to see?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. I would love to see the Dark Crystal figures.
Yes. Dark Crystal figures would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Those, and those do exist. Those samples do exist.
Yeah.
They made it way farther than prototype. They made it all the way to packaging and production samples before that line got shut down. So there are quite a few. You know, you see, I know several years ago, people discovered production samples of First Mate Ginny from Bucky from Bucky O'Hare.
Bucky O'Hare.
And there are samples of that figure in package and complete loose that do exist out there. I'd love to see, you know, for somebody to discover, it didn't make it that far to production and packaging, but for somebody to at least discover a production sample of like the Righteous Indignation or a few of those other figures that almost made it to production and just never quite happened. But that shows you how far, because Ginny was supposed to be in the first wave.
Yeah.
And they held her back and they took her off the back of the cards. And so that's why that figure exists out of the line. But trying to think, you know, I would bring up Police Academy, but pretty much everything that was supposed to be unproduced for that has been found over in
South America. Usually.
South America, yep. They've found, everything has been found. Actually, and I think there's still an auction on eBay right now as we record this that I kind of been watching to see... To see if it would, there is a 1990 Copper Corner from Jocasa, Argentina, is the company that produced a lot of these, and Copper Corner was one of those items that people were like, oh, it never existed, and then I think, like, we've talked about it before many times, but just maybe 4 or 5 years ago, suddenly all of this stuff got flooded from Argentina, and everybody was like, oh my god, this stuff, it made it to production there. But, yeah, somebody's got it on eBay for $60 and then another almost $40 shipping.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
For something that doesn't exist, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all, but it's more than I want to spend right now.
Oh, I know. So.
I've got all the U.S. stuff figure-wise, so I don't really need the foreign stuff, but it's cool. I'd love that if the Bill and Ted stuff had been released. I think a lot of that stuff, you know, we were one figure short out of the wave. I wish that somebody would discover some production samples for some of that. I think that'd be fun. But a lot of the stuff that we should, especially stuff from Kenner, a lot of the stuff that we should have got, like stuff for RoboCop, there's supposed to be a car, that a villain's car that was supposed to come out that eventually got released as the mold that they did reused for the Terminator 2 line as the T2 car. So a lot of the stuff that I would like to see, I think, eventually got released in another line.
I know, well, at this point, just the actual waves that got released are stupid expensive, but, you know, there was a wave 2 for droids and Ewoks.
Yes.
And those figures, those samples exist, those prototypes exist.
Yes.
And I know somebody got a hold of them and did some castings of them, because I've got a reproduction of one of them.
Of one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And you had thought about getting some reproductions of the other ones, too, I think.
I thought about it, yeah.
I think that'd be fun. What do you say with that out of the way? We answer some fan questions.
Okay. Do we have any?
We do. Our buddy Eric Van Zijem is me. Wow. I'm just going to say his name wrong every time because he told it's fine. But our buddy Eric on Twitter says he wants to know, does Dave have Force Awakens on DVD and Blu-ray?
Yes.
Yeah, we both do. We both bought it on Blu-ray. Dave watched the movie and I watched all the special features.
No, I watched the deleted scenes.
You watched the deleted scenes. That's right. I watched all the making up stuff because that stuff fascinated me. Because I wanted to see how much of certain things they built. And
yeah, I've heard that actually is kind of disappointing compared to some of the other some of the other ones they did for the prequels.
Yeah, for the prequels it's kind of disappointing, but it's about an hour plus. And there's some great stuff like the table read. Like, Mark Hamill was only there to... He basically was there to read the actual script directions and everything. Which I think was pretty fascinating. I was like, oh, well, Mark Hamill has no lines in the film, so... Which always made me, especially after seeing it, and then seeing that picture of the table read, you always wanted to go, what the hell's Hamill doing there? He didn't have any lines. He didn't say a word.
I probably wanted him there for that picture.
Although there was a great meme for... he and Kathleen Kennedy...
is it a meme, or did he actually say it?
It's part of a video that they did for the Force for Change.
Yes.
The charity. And I guess she's talking it up, and it's supposed to be his cue, and he's just staring intently, and she's like, Mark! And he's like, oh, I have lines? And he looks at the camera and goes, I'm sorry, I'm just used to staring intently.
Yeah.
And did you spot Constable Zuvio?
No.
I don't even think they put him in the deleted scenes, did
they?
No. Yeah. No Constable Zuvio. That's what happens. Oh, I just knocked over Ariel.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, no Constable Zuvio. He got canned. He got poop canned.
Yeah, the impression I get is that they reshot a lot of stuff. Because there's a whole thing about a scene with Chewie and Han on Jakku. And that the big junk dealer guy, like, who has the Millennium Falcon, like, Chewie rips his arm off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay, that's, like, totally not what's in the film.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
And there's, in one of the deleted scenes they do have is, like, a speeder chase on a Starkiller base.
Oh.
And you're like, but there's, like, it's just randomly they're in a speeder and the bad guys are in the other speeder. Like, that's not a speeder toy.
Yeah.
And you're like, but there's no beginning and no ending and you have no idea how it fits in with anything else.
Right.
It's really weird.
It's one of those strange kind of, hey, it's a deleted scene. Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Crap. our buddy John Solo says, hey Dave, whatever happened to the guy who was going to build you the outer space station from the Women's Day magazine in the 70s? Thanks, darkness, no parents.
I just caught up with him last week, and
yes,
unfortunately, he was supposed to do it over the winter when he didn't have work. He had a lot of, this was a mild winter,
yep.
And apparently a lot of people's stuff broke, and he just has not gotten to it. So, hopefully someday. He's still planning on working, he's got some parts for it, and I told him I still want it done, so...
Yeah.
We shall see.
Someday.
Hopefully.
And then Floorburger, our buddy Josh Flood says, Floorburger here. I know, I got too many syllables and vowels in my mouth right now. Floorburger here, not toy related. In all of your personal interstate and intrastate travels, have either of you been to or been interested in going to the Bristol Renaissance Fair right on the Illinois-Wisconsin border? I'm going to be honest with you, Joshua. I have no interest in that. I'm not a Renaissance Fair guy. I don't, if it ain't a flea market and you ain't got toys, I ain't going.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the boat with you. I love D&D and I love that kind of stuff, but I'm not big on the whole dressing up in the costumes and the, although I did suggest to a friend of mine that we should do, like some people occasionally will, like, dress up like Star Trek characters.
Oh, yes.
And crash them.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Captain, we seem to have landed on a strange... You know, we've gone back in time to medieval ages. Be jerks about it, so...
Hey, as long as the Renaissance people played along, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Arrest these strange men, Constable!
They must be witches.
They must be witches! Burn them! You're supposed to drown witches. Drown them! Oh no. I can swim, though, suckers. Then he goes on to say, toy-related, what are some of the toy lines that you have that are... able to nearly seamlessly mesh together despite being different properties. Speaking of the Toyfinity concept from our buddy John Kent.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it basically comes from the same company. So, you know, the Marvel stuff and the G.I. Joe.
Yep.
I mash up pretty well.
It's a shame that we couldn't get the little 4-inch Doctor Who stuff, because I still would have loved to see.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
The 4-inch Doctor, and
it makes me so mad that who, like, what are they called? Underground Toys.
Underground Toys.
Like, they just had this pathological need to make everything not quite mesh up with the American toys.
Yeah,
it's like the Doctor Who figures are just a little shorter than 6-inch, and the other ones are just a little shorter than 3 3/4.
3 3/4. Yeah.
Like, ugh, so annoying.
Yes. The Marvel and Joe stuff go together well, because of Hasbro.
Yeah, the boss fight stuff.
Yes.
Goes together with Joe's really well.
Yes.
Because, again, kind of designed by the same people.
Speaking
of which, I want to quickly, because I forgot to mention this earlier, as listeners of the show know, I was grousing about some things, and our listener, Matthew
L. Not Sherbini, you.
Is that how you pronounce it? El Cervini?
Right.
Okay. He sent me a message saying that the New Jersey Comic Con Boss Fight exclusive, they were selling a few of them on eBay.
Oh.
So I was able to get that, and I got the Kokomo Toys one as well. So thank you, Matthew.
Oh, neat.
I hope I didn't screw up your last name too badly. But, apparently grousing about stuff on the podcast occasionally pays off.
Occasionally pays off. Yeah. Good.
So I was really happy about that. So I am once again kind of all in-ish.
Well, good. And then one thing I wanted to cover that you can't get these still, unfortunately. They're sold out. They're gone. They sold out
in 7 minutes.
7 minutes they sold out. But,
are they doing a second?
They are doing another color wave.
Because, I literally spent a big chunk of the morning checking the site.
Yeah.
And then I got distracted with other things. By the time I got back to it, it was like, oh, it's all sold out. Yay. Because I would have bought them.
Yeah.
We are talking about
our friends over at Spy Monkey Creations, who they've done the Weapon Ears of Monka and some other GLaDOS compatible stuff. They introduced and released a brand new line of medieval styled GLaDOS compatible figures. And these are 2.5-inch tall figures, so they're just that size for GLaDOS figures, called Battle Tribes, Weapons and Warriors. And these were released over the weekend. There were 8 figures in total that were released. Characters in Wave 1 included the Savage Adventurer, the Nomadic Orc, the Cyclops Ice Raider, the Crimson Spikosaurian, and then, of course, the Tribe Builders, Pale Flesh, Orcish Screen, Ice Blue, and Crimson. And these went up for sale at 6 p.m. on the 8th of April 2016. And as Dave said, sold out in 7 minutes. Literally in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And
congratulations.
Oh, God, yes. Congratulations to Spy Monkey, because holy crap, man. That's phenomenal. But I think the real spinner was that they sent out, not to us, unfortunately, because, well, we're not cool. We're not the cool kids. But they sent out review samples to our friend Pixel Dan got a whole set of them to review, and got an early review of them. And they do go on to say, if you missed out, please know that we have more new figures on the way and we'll continue to adjust quantities to meet demand. So I don't know if they're going to redo this first wave of them. Or not. Brad Raider also got a set too, and that was the other one I was trying to think of. But they sold out 7 minutes, which just unreal, man. So kudos to Spy Monkey for apparently they're really cool. I watched Andy's review of them, and they, when we say they're GLaDOS compatible, they pop apart, and you combine them with GLaDOS stuff from Toyfinity to everything that GLaDOS compatible stuff has been made, the Power Lords, all that stuff. So pretty cool. But they are the last I knew, the last I had seen was that they were going to release color waves, new color waves, as well as new figures. So something to look forward to. But you can check them out on Spy Monkey Creations on Facebook, and then spymonkeycreations.com. is the website that you can go to. So make sure you keep an eye on those two if they're a line of toys that you're interested in, because they're pretty cool. Like Dave said, when Dave says I would have bought them, you know they're pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
So make sure you check that out. Cool stuff, though. Again, kudos to Spy Monkey, because that's just amazing. That's the week, guys. That's all that's... what's going on, really? Technically. Well, gang, there you go. It's going to wrap up the show for Dave and I this week. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Like I said, we're 9 days away from Kane County, so just to reiterate, if you're looking for something to do and you're going to be in the area, either for the toy show or in the St. Charles, Illinois area, just that weekend, and you want something to do on Saturday evening, which is April 24th is the show, so Saturday, April 23rd, if you're out and about in St. Charles, come by 1590 East Main Street to Gino's East, world famous pizzeria there. Tell the host of the door you're there for the Toy World Order party, and they'll escort you upstairs to the large space we have, and come hang out with us, order some pizza, eat some dinner, have some fun. We'll be there to talk toys and talk about our what we'd like to find at the show the following Sunday, and then maybe if you're not doing anything, hang out and go to the show on Sunday. So King County Doll and Toy Show, which just a heads up for everyone, it is $10 this year to get in, which makes me kind of sad because I still remember the days when it was $7, which wasn't really that long ago.
Not that long
ago. No, sure wasn't. They've gone up about $1 every year now, so. But you can check that out, so come hang out with us. Come check that out. Check out our sponsor, Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. And then make sure you check us out on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder. Hit subscribe. Mash the like button. And also check us out on Facebook. There's a Toy World Order official site, and as well as the Toy World Order fan site. So make sure you check both of those out and enjoy all we have there to offer. And until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.